Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
This is Why Always Us. It's your second helping of the Athletic's Manchester City podcast for this week. I'm David Mooney. Sam Lee is in the airport after the Madrid game. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. You know that meme that men will just do a podcast instead of dealing with their trauma properly? That thought occurred to me this morning, that's all.
Well, I mean, is that not a way of dealing with it properly? Like, would you, regardless of the memes, you know, you've got to... If you're talking about your problems, then you're dealing with it. Yeah. So here we are.
Yeah.
Join us.
Welcome. Come on in. It's the dust has settled. You can read everything on City and more on The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. That includes the reaction to Wednesday's game in Madrid. Just go to theathletic.com/ManCityPod and sign up. You'll get these podcasts without the ads as well. That's theathletic.com/ManCityPod. First thing, Sam, let's just get your immediate reaction now that the dust has settled. It's been a night and, you know, everything's kind of calmed down a bit after in the aftermath of the game. What's your reaction?
I don't know if the dust has settled or if things have calmed down a bit. the Marca front page, well, they've done a front and back full-on wrap on Marca, and the headline is basically, let God come down and explain it. Like, it's one of the best front pages, headlines, whatever, I've ever seen. Like, you can't explain it. And that's from their point of view. That's from the point of view of, isn't this amazing? This amazing thing has happened. Like, God needs to come and explain it. And I think we need that ourselves. You know, yeah. I'm not going to explain it to you here. I don't know. I don't know what happened other than it's Real Madrid. So my article was, look, City had their failings over the two legs, but it's Real Madrid. And if it's like, oh, the mentality is bad. If the mentality is not as good as Real Madrid, then it's almost like, well, fine. It's they didn't get knocked out by Benfica. It's not another Leon. And like Madrid have literally done the exact same thing twice already.
Yeah.
And Madrid, I was in the taxi to the airport this morning, and straight away I was onto the taxi driver. I was like, "Did you see the game last night?" He was like, "Yeah, yeah." And then we had a great chat. I thought it might help me give some ideas for this. And he was like, "There's one." He goes, "Real Madrid have got one thing. They got one thing, and it's belief." And I know, like, it sounds wanky, and it sounds maybe it sounded better in Spanish as well, but it was, and he was like, look, but it's not just this season. And I was like, look, I was like, yeah, they did it against PSG, they did it against Chelsea. It's exactly the same thing. He was like, no, not just this team, of this club. And again, like, we know that, you know, we know what Real Madrid is. We know, you know, going to the Bernabeu and playing there is like the Anfield thing, but even more so. Yeah. Like, I think Liverpool and Anfield, you know, is the only thing that kind of comes close to that in terms of, no matter how unlikely it seems, you are fucked. You don't know it yet, but you are fucked. And yeah. I think that's basically what happened. And yeah, I wrote an article in the, like, a preview article, which was just kind of, it was just words, you know, but it was just get the job done. But like, in the first leg, we talk about the finishing, but, you know, Madrid scored three goals out of nothing. And like, City didn't really have a lapse. You know, Zinchenko wasn't really bad for Benzema's goal, for Benzema out of the yard and he scored. That, you know, but at the same, that's Real Madrid. That's the Champions League. It's the semi-finals. Yeah. You can't expect not to play against quality. But like Fernandinho got nutmegged on the halfway line, and they still conceded. Laporte didn't go across. Ederson wasn't great. Laporte with the header that went onto his hand for the penalty. Three stupid mistakes. It's like if you do those, you'll get punished. And like we know, the Cancelo can switch off, especially when he's at right back. And then that's kind of what happened. We know that, you know. I mean, I didn't really. I mean, I talked about Laporte maybe not having, you know, or Laporte maybe having a great game, but then a lapse or something. But it, Diaz wasn't brilliant. And this is where that magic, that Madrid, the kind of intangible stuff of it's Madrid, and oh, you can't just say it's like whatever it was about that match, about that stadium, about that night, or whatever. Like, I think the City players, you begin to feel it.
Yeah,
but. The main point I want to make before we go on is like I'm probably going to write this on the plane on the way home now, but because the disappointment is huge, you know, the shock is massive, you know, there's a reaction, like a knee-jerk reaction kind of thing in society and in the media where it's like, well, if this is a massive disappointment, then it must be a massive fuck-up. It must be a massive failure. Who's to blame? You start pointing fingers. You have a massive inquest. I don't think there's a massive inquest to be had here. Okay, we know they need to score more goals. Well, they're going to sign Haaland, so there's your answer. You know, they had fucking 1.5 feet in the Champions League final. They should have got there. But is it a deeper problem? Or did they just lose a mad game of football to Real Madrid, who do this to everyone? It's not, you know, it's not Benfica, it's not Ajax, it's not Lyon, it's not Tottenham. You know, it's Real Madrid.
Yeah.
The inquest need go no further. But like we talked about the defensive errors, like Cancelo and even Diaz, who doesn't make a lot, but obviously last night wasn't great. Laporte too. You know, he's generally amazing, and then maybe sometimes in these games, not last night so much, but the first leg. But it's like, well, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? Ederson. So I've always said this about Ederson. What are you going to do? You're going to sell these players and get better ones. Like, and we don't like. And who do you buy? And then let's say they sell those four players, which obviously isn't going to happen. They bring in the replacements, and they look great, and City are top of the league next year, and they get to Champions League semi final. The same thing happens. So you don't know how he's going to react. You don't know how these players are going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And Diaz is 23, by the way, as well. Like, I know it's like he's the oldest one in the group, but he's one of the youngest, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a little analogy, and I don't know if it really works, Sam, but it's a story that I have of my own kind of experience of something like this. And it was, I'm not a great poker player. But I like to play poker every now and then. And this is years ago, one of the first times I'd ever bought into a cash game at the casino. I drew 4-4 as the two cards that I was dealt. And yeah. Great start. The flop comes out, four of clubs and five of clubs. And like I flopped a set of quads. I've never seen that happen before. And I say clubs because that's important, because I'm trying to slow play it. I'm not a great poker player. People will tell me I've made mistakes, all that sort of thing. But I'm trying to take as much money out of this four of a kind that I can. The next card comes and it's the 10 of clubs. The fella opposite me goes all in. I call it. Obviously, I've got four of a kind. He turns over the ace of clubs, the two of clubs, and so he's flopped to an ace high flush. Then the river comes along, the final card, the three of clubs, and it beats me. It's the first time I've ever seen a straight flush on a poker table, and like the idea that I've done something wrong there, and by going all in with one of the strongest hands I've ever seen. Like, it just feels like it's one of those things. Sometimes you just draw the card you need. Sometimes you just score the goal you need. It, like, it happens sometimes.
Yeah. When I write articles, you know, I'm always looking for deeper meaning or something. But obviously through seasons and games and whatever, you can look for patterns. And you know, sometimes things do have bigger meanings. And, okay, we've been talking about the strikers all season and not being clinical. And at the end, That was obviously a factor over the two legs. But again, just bad luck. You know, Mahrez hitting the post in the first leg and then the ball dropping to Foden, but getting blocked on the line. Exactly the same as the Grealish thing last night. So like, there's bad luck in that sense. But yeah, it's like we talk about this and that. And, you know, obviously,
look, I feel like the world would have had it much easier if Guardiola had picked a mad lineup, because everyone could go, oh, well, he's a fraud, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was the lineup that did it. But there isn't that. It feels like an absolute cop-out to say, I'm sorry, but this is football. This is Real Madrid. And I feel like, you know, I knew that if I wrote that in my article, that I'd be like, it would be, oh, you know, he's just saying this to like absolve City. And I'm not, you know. There were things that City didn't do brilliantly over the two games.
Yeah, City made mistakes across the two legs. Yeah.
But, like, it's football. Like, it's just, it's, like, there's that, you know, I suppose if we're talking about history and how teams do things, you know, and, you know, Madrid's history, you know, the taxi driver was talking me through matches in the 80s where they came from behind. You know, there's that, but I suppose there's also, I don't know for the players, but if it can go wrong, it will do. You know, I'm sure fucking Kevin De Bruyne wasn't sitting on the pitch thinking about some mad game you had against fucking Macclesfield. You know, like, yeah, that, it wouldn't be there. But I think when you're faced with Real Madrid like that, and you get hit with a sucker punch, you know, in 2 minutes, it can happen. They can do it. Like I said, it's not Benfica, it's not Villarreal, it's not Ajax. It's Real Madrid. It happens. And you know, I suppose the hope is that they do it again in the final, because someone's going to have to.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I want to pick up on the idea that, I mean, we'll come to individual moments in last night's game in a second, I think. But I kind of want to pick up on the idea that I've seen quite a lot this morning, that the tie was lost last week. And I can't agree with that, because they were two up on 89 minutes. The tie wasn't last week. It was simply lost in a mad moment at the end of the game.
Yeah, again, I just think that's just, you know, because of the size of the disappointment, we look for an equally sized reaction. But, yeah, two-legged games are played over two legs. You know, everything that happens in those games contributes. And, yeah, they lost. They missed chances last week. They missed chances last night that contributed. You know, there's been discussion around the subs. But in terms of taking De Bruyne off, may have been injured. I was a bit surprised he was taken off, but ultimately that's just because it's De Bruyne. If you remember back to Anfield in October, it was quite poor, but they kept him on and actually scored the equaliser. And you think, like, a bit like the Real Madrid thing, well, that's just De Bruyne. Do you know what I mean? It's Kevin De Bruyne, so you keep him on. But last night, he was poor, possibly injured, so fine. And anyway, regardless, a couple of minutes later,
they took the lead.
Saying, I'll move Bernardo out of his position. Bernardo moved up the pitch. Did brilliantly, fucking the most incisive bit of attacking play all evening up until that point. Set up Mahrez, and again, talking about the City missing their chances, which undisputably they did. But Bernardo's goal in the first leg and Mahrez's goal last night were kind of those goals out of nothing. You'd say Liverpool score. Like, City did score goals where it wasn't like it was like 0.89 XG in front of goal. Obviously, they missed them, but they did balance it out somewhat with the goals they did score. So, yeah, and then taking off Mahrez for Fernandinho and going into battle mode does invite pressure, but also I think it kind of it does invite it, but also I think in that game maybe it would have come anyway, and you play those circumstances of we've got a two goal lead here, something pretty fucking dramatic would have to happen for that two-goal lead not to be enough. So yeah, we put on Fernandinho to battle because, you know, everyone's knackered. And and you know, we sit back and we do this and we see it out. I get the logic in that, but quickly, those Grealish chances, they happened with the subs. Subs happened. The Grealish chances happened. If that ball goes in, and I know again, it sounds like a cop out, but if that ball goes in, one of the two, nobody's talking about inquest. Nobody's talking about this and that. We know that they could have won. And I would have said, like, if City had gone through, I'd have said they weren't great here. But what you have to say is, because I started making notes, so what you have to say is, if we're talking about the magic of the Bernabeu, and you know, this is me thinking at 1-0, City are going through it in the 90th minute. For them to have kept that at bay and go through, even playing badly, you can talk about the misplaced passes, you can talk about the players playing poorly, but for them to have mastered Madrid in that sense is incredibly impressive. And that is how it went. You know, they didn't play well, but they had done the job. And then look, two mad minutes. And okay, Madrid shouldn't have been within two goals. It should have been three or four behind. But also the defending should have been better. But it's, you know, the finishing we know all season. The defending, you know, sometimes it's not mistakes and Madrid score anyway. Sometimes it's a mistake, Madrid score anyway. It's Real Madrid. Like, Benzema's got 42 goals this season. It happens, unfortunately. It happens. So all the subs and all of this, like I say, you look for a reaction kind of equal to the shock. But I don't think there is one. You know, there's not a... You know, we could come on here and we should say, oh, they should get rid of him and they should get rid of him and they should do this. Or, you know, maybe it's time for Pep to move on and, you know, say thanks very much and bring in the next manager. No, like, none of that. None of that is the case, yeah. as far as I can see.
I was going to ask when you've kind of answered it a little bit there already, because I was going to ask if bringing Fernandinho on invites that pressure, but I didn't realise, I'd completely forgotten that Grealish had those two opportunities. I mean, one of them. I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because I've seen a lot of blame on the old Twitter timeline this morning about Grealish not taking those chances. And admittedly, most of it not from City fans. But equally, you know, it is there. And I kind of wonder what more he needs to do, because he's beaten Courtois with the first one and it's cleared off the line. It's actually cleared off the line onto Foden and it still doesn't go in.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bad luck, Ellen. That's not a bad finishing.
Yeah, and the second one, it's like when you watch it from the camera angle at the side of the goal, it's a fucking brilliant save by Courtois. I'm not really sure what else he can do.
I didn't even realise, like, the ref gave a corner. I was like, what happened? I don't even think, because... All I could get, because I can't get the BT highlights over here, because I've tried a VPN, it's not working. And the marker highlights was literally just the chances and the goals. But I don't think they put the second Grealish one on, so I've not actually seen that save properly.
Yeah, he basically tries to put it in the far corner, and it's like, as Courtois spreads himself, he gets like just a single stud on it, and it changes the direction of it to just outside the post. It was going in without that touch. Yeah.
But this is it, and again, it's like, it sounds like such... Because, like, you know, I feel like the culture now we live in is you need to be hard, you need to be tough, you need to say this was shit. But it's the Champions League. Courtois is having a great season. Like, and I know ultimately if you're a winner, you put it in, it's that kind of man up response, isn't it? It's just, well, if you're going to win, then you put it in the corner regardless. It's like, okay, it's not how football works. Courtois is having a great season. He obviously found a stud from fucking somewhere, turned it around the post. I don't know. I suppose Grealish kind of getting into that position. You know, that goal, the way the Grealish got to the byline and had that shot that was cleared off the line, do you know what? It reminded me of Craig Bellamy's goal at Old Trafford,
yeah, exactly.
2010? It was that, wasn't it? It was like, where are you going with that? But it completely foxed Ben Foster on that day and it foxed Courtois last night, but somehow didn't get over the line. And again, like, the clearance just... How does it not fall to Foden in a position where he can put it in?
Yeah, like, it's twice in this tie now that's happened.
There's no answers. Like, there are no answers for that. And, you know, if there were answers or if it had gone differently, then we wouldn't be searching for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In terms of the game management as well, let's come back to that Fernandinho thing, because I said about it inviting pressure. Maybe that pressure was going to come anyway, but also a little part of me, I said to my partner at full time, in normal time, not extra time. That's it. They're done.
Same because, thing, basically. Absolutely.
They're done. They've made their changes, and it hasn't worked. So now they're in this position now where they're going to have to patch up this this side that was meant to see out this game to try and find a way to see out this game and get a winner. I just don't feel like they're going to be able to do it. And I think they were built
to hold on to what they had, and suddenly they had fuck all.
Yeah, and so I was kind of like, okay, well, is that bad game management from Guardiola? Is it simply? I mean, there's one incident where I think it was Cancelo crossed the ball into the box with a minute to go when he's got it by the corner flag, and just like maybe
circumstances. But somebody sent me a voice note this morning saying exactly the same thing, which is so. In terms of that, in terms of the game management they weren't set up in extra time to come back and do it. But I mean, I can't say that 100%, because with Grealish and Sterling on and Foden still, you know, you it's not like you've got Fernandinho's all over the pitch. You know what I mean? You've got legs. You've got fresh legs. You've got players capable of doing that stuff. But in that sense, like in the sense of like having Gundogan on and Fernandinho on, you know, your leggy in midfield already, I think, compared to their kind of youthful effervescence from the subs that they made. And obviously you're playing against forces you can't control at that point. Like, and the circumstances of the two goals, it was just an absolute gut punch. So I actually thought, even in extra time, City got the ball down and came forward well enough. First half of extra time, you know, obviously Fernandinho had that chance at the back post. Another flick from Courtois. Like, they got the ball down well enough and settled well enough, but there was no spark there. You know, they'd had a gut punch, and that was it. Like, that was it. So in terms of not being equipped for extra time, it was part tactical, because obviously they'd thrown everything into the, well, we're gonna hold on to what we've got. And then obviously once it had gone, the kind of mental impact of that. And again, you can talk about how players need better mentality or whatever, but it's like if you're bottling it in those circumstances against a lesser team, it can still happen. But you think, well, you should be stronger than that. But I mean, I'm sorry, but it's, and maybe this is because I'm here, and this is all you hear. But it's like when you're in Madrid, you just feel it. You know, the whole this is the Bernabeu, it means more kind of thing. Like it counts for something. I'm telling you, it counts for something. It's intangible, but you can see the tangible things that happened on the pitch. And in terms of the game management, Cancelo putting the ball in the box, like, you just shithoused your way against Atletico Madrid, feigning injuries and wasting time. And City were doing that all game. Like, they were doing that all game. They were killing the match in that way. You know, they were time-wasting a lot. Edison kept getting warned for the goal kicks.
they knew how to do that. And then I don't remember Cancelo putting the ball in the box. I don't remember thinking, you fucking idiot. But it's something that's been mentioned a couple of times. And you just think, it's baffling. Again, as my mate said, that was his word. It is baffling. And it is baffling because they did it against Atletico. But it wasn't just that. They did it in the whole game. And then suddenly when they had to just kill the game, they couldn't. And obviously the second half of extra time just didn't happen. The second half of extra time was not played. Like,
yeah,
that was it. And I suppose it was kind of ironic in a way when Militao went down and feigned injury. So Militao had been blocking off Foden when he was trying to run and pressure Courtois. And he was stepping across him every time. And Foden just pushed him over. And then so Militao stayed down. And then I think maybe it was that time or the second time. But Foden went over to him to try and, like, come on, mate, get back on your feet. And it's like, look, if that was another team that wasn't the one we cover, you would be saying, you know, that is karma in a way, isn't it? Because it's exactly what Foden did at Atletico Madrid. Like, I'm not judging that, and I'm not judging what Militao did. It's just when I saw Foden try and pick him up, I just thought, yeah, that's tough, man. Like, it's not, yeah, it's not like, oh, you deserve that or whatever. It's just that's football. You know, sometimes you're doing it, sometimes it's happening to you, and you know, it feels fucking good when you're doing it, and when it's happening to you, not so much.
Yeah.
Again, it's football.
Do we? I hate this as an excuse, but do we need to talk about the refereeing?
I don't think so, because the Madrid fans weren't happy with him. He was very soft. His approach to the game was effectively a shrug of the shoulders, like, well, you just sort it out between yourselves, lads, which is no way to ref a game, but it's a way that works for both teams. The Madrid fans weren't happy. There were decisions that Madrid could have got. There were decisions that City could have got, did get. Decisions that Madrid did get. I thought he was just weak and equally weak for both teams. I thought the same about the guy in the last round against Atletico.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a major problem. I mean, it's one of those factors in the game, but I wouldn't say there needs to be an inquiry or something. He was just a weak ref.
Yeah,
but it was weak for both teams.
In terms of players availability, that sort of thing.
Well, Walker,
yeah,
Laporte.
Well, I was going to say Walker is the one. He were the only time that, like, he played what 70 odd minutes in this entire tie, and that was the only time that City didn't concede.
Well, yeah, and it was probably, I don't know, it might have been, I mean, I know he went down with an impact thing in the end, but it was almost as if they were like, well, give us an hour and that should be enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, to be fair, I know Pep wouldn't think like that, but it felt like, okay, if you were to offer us an hour of Kyle Walker, you think City would get the job done in that point. Obviously, at the time he'd gone off, that wasn't the case. Yeah, I don't know. Is that a coincidence? Because he didn't look entirely comfortable against Vinicius. He was all right against Vinicius, but he was more worried than he is against most wingers.
Yeah, I think for that reason, it's actually probably a coincidence that it happened when he was off the pitch rather than when he was on the pitch. I think he was struggling fitness wise, wasn't he? That was,
yeah. And I suppose the thing with the equaliser, the ball dropped over Cancelo's head. It's like, if there's one area where Walker can switch off, and it's very, very rare, and it's rarer than Cancelo, it's a ball from the other side in behind him. But again, if he'd have been on the pitch, then maybe it wouldn't have happened. But, you know, he obviously wasn't quite fully fit, but Guardiola said, do you want to play? And of course you're going to. You've got to praise that mentality.
Yeah.
But, you know, but again, it was an impact injury that did for him, wasn't it? So it's, yeah, it wasn't like, you know, like Stones, who clearly wasn't ready, like in terms of muscle wise, and tweaked something and that was it. I'm going to have to board this in a minute, but with no Walker, you would presume now for the rest of the season, considering the rest of the season, three games in the next 10 days. And then obviously Laporte was injured and was limping and was going to go off. Ake was getting ready to come on. And then he just went up front instead, which is unusual. So again, with there being basically 10 days left, and obviously the Villa game a week after, but 10 days for the three big games that, you know, will decide it pretty much.
Yeah.
No Laporte. I mean, the defence, Cancelo, I mean, look, again, they're not playing Real Madrid in these games. They're playing Newcastle, Wolves and West Ham. So there's no need to panic too much. But the defence is going to have to be Cancelo, Diaz, Ake, Zinchenko, I guess. And it's not bad, that. But,
There's a bit of a cost to it.
No, there's no slack. There's a bit of a cost to it in the sense of, you know, what it took out of them. But I don't know, like, if we're going by history and whatever, they lost to Spurs in the Champions League in the most brutal way, and then they beat Spurs 3 days later, you know, and then they went on to win the league and they went on to win more matches. I think the fact they got Newcastle at home is helpful.
In form, though.
Well, they played Chelsea and Liverpool of good teams and lost them both.
You know.
They are in form, but you know, I think City, it won't be an easy game, but at home it helps. You know, it's a good time for reaction. And then, you know, if you get back on the horse after that and you steady yourself a bit, then, you know, you go into Wolves and West Ham, and it really is in your grasp there. So we will have to see how that goes. But yeah. I am done here.
Yeah, well, go and board your flight. That's the end of this week's second helping of Why Always Us. Thanks to Sam Lee.
Thanks, lads. Enjoy it.
Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.